Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
And welcome back. Bernard Phelan is with us in studio. Bernard had been to Iran a couple of times prior to his visit in September 2022, and he ended up being arrested and imprisoned for 222 days. Think of that for a moment. And during that time, he did not know if or when he would be released. His family, his husband didn't know about it. At one point, a judge told him, "You will die in prison." And these are the words that become the title of his book on the experience. And he's with us to share his story. And it's a story of unbelievable, incredible strength and perseverance. Bernard Phelan, welcome.
Thank you, Oliver.
And welcome home.
Thank you.
It's never too late to keep saying that, I suppose, over and over again. Can we find out who you are, first of all? Because you were based really in France when this happened, but you grew up and you're born and bred here.
I was born in Clonmel in Tipperary.
Oh, yeah.
And most of my life in Stillorgan in Dublin. And I moved to France in 86 with the Irish Tourist Board. And then was in IT after that in France. I stayed on and got married in France and married to my husband, Roland. And I was always fascinated by Iran.
Yeah.
The culture, the whole country always interested me, and went to see it in 2017, fell in love with it. And I contacted the tour operator who was locally, who was involved in the trek I was doing. I said, "Listen, do you want some helping in marketing?" And he said, "We'll get back to you." And in October 2017, he said, "Yeah, we'd like you to help us."
And you had a history in tourism, obviously.
Absolutely. Selling different difficult destinations. Ireland in the 1980s. Ireland in the 1980s was a difficult destination to sell in France. Yeah. Yeah. People were mixed up with the north.
What attracted you to Iran? You said it was a place you fell in love with. How did you fall in love with Iran?
The people are fantastic.
Really?
It reminded me of Ireland back in the 80s. The people are terribly friendly, open. Their culture is so incredible. I mean, you find people reading literature. They know more about European literature than most people would know. Mm-hmm. You go down the metro station. I remember talking to a guy, said to us, "Where are you from?" I said, "Oh, we're from France." "Oh, yes, I'm reading Montague." I said, "What? You're reading a French philosopher?" This is a guy working in the metro. It's the whole culture in Iran is incredible.
So it's not the view we sometimes get, because obviously we cover political situations and we forget the kind of social, cultural life that goes on. Citizens are not their governments.
No, exactly. I mean, people walk up to us when in Iran and would say, "We don't like our government."
Really?
Yeah, in a restaurant.
Confidently?
Yeah, confidently.
Okay.
That was amazing. You know, the middle class, Iranian middle class, are very well educated. And it's a very modern country. It's not like I've been in Algeria, I've been around the Middle East. Iran is the Germany of the Middle East and Central Asia.
Wow.
It is high tech, very, very modern. It's not at all the image people
nice
have.
Nice cars driving around,
yeah.
Restaurants in full,
absolutely, yeah.
Full flow and so on. How did you market Ireland to the French in the 80s? I'm sorry to step back, but
that was difficult. I mean, everything wasn't difficult to sell. But the big problem was to try to explain to the public that Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland were two different places.
Yes.
That was the education. But in Iran, which was an amazing thing, everybody knew that Ireland was two countries. In the prison, a guard would say, "Where are you from?" "Ireland, north or south?" You know the difference,
wow, yeah.
In provincial Iran.
Yeah. What's going on in your life at the time that you go to Iran and the bad incident comes where you're approached? You're living in Paris.
Yeah.
And how long have you been with your husband?
Nearly 20 years.
Oh, really? How did you meet?
Ooh, long story. Long story. I was with somebody else beforehand and he died of AIDS. And I met Roland. We just got on like a house on fire, and we've been together since. And when you go through something like this, it's, you know what love means.
Yeah.
It's I was just amazed, you know, how many, my sister and family and Roland, how much they battled for me. And I didn't know, of course, when I was in prison what was going on.
Yeah.
But when I found out about it, when I got out, it just bowled me over.
That became the harbour for
you.
I presume living openly, coming from Paris, living openly as a gay man with a husband and everything, is Iran a country that you can travel safely in?
It is. I mean, we've been to Iran twice. I've been twice with Roland. And nobody would bat an eyelid when you go to a hotel and you want a double room.
Really?
No problem. It's not a problem for Europeans. Mm-hmm. The Iranians, I mean, what flabbergasted, amazed me was the at the interrogation, the first, second day in solitary confinement, the guard came, the interrogator said to me, "Are you married? Who are you married to?" And I said, "Roland Bonello." And he said, "That's a man's name." I said, "Yes, we can marry people of the same sex in many European countries." Next question, "Do you have children?" "No." "Why not? Why did you not adopt?" Totally
extraordinary,
open. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. I was
so
amazed.
They weren't shocked or gasping.
No. And another stage, as another interrogator, he said to me, "The LGBT lobby is very powerful in Europe." And I said, "Yes, they are."
We'll come to the situation in prison, but I want to visit that day because you're over and back to Iran, as you described, as a tour operator. What exactly are you doing in September 2022?
I was helping my Iranian client, Adventure Iran, to work on a program to do the Silk Road by train. Mm-hmm. I'd flown into Istanbul.